All right. Well, tonight, in just the few minutes that we have left, I wanted to talk about a word that in English is a word that we know quite frequently, but in the King James, it's mentioned a little bit different, but I want to talk about the Greek version of it anyway, so it doesn't really matter whether we say establish or stablish. You ever seen the word stablish? Come across that in your Bible? We'll start in Romans chapter 16, and I'm going to go over about seven verses quickly tonight. Now, I know you are laughing right now because I just said seven verses and quick, but I will try. The word stablish in the Greek is a word sterizo, and it literally has the idea of to turn resolutely or to resolve in your mind to turn to a specific direction and to go in it in a firm way. Not like, you know, when you're, I don't like traveling in areas that I've never been in before. I always get real uncomfortable because, you know, if you turn here, what's it going to go? And I remember when Tara and I went on the senior trip a few weeks ago, the GPS was taking me in this really weird way and I turned here and I could have just went straight and turned there and it took us in a circle and I felt bad for Ms. Adams having to follow me and all this stuff. I like to know resolutely and confidently where I'm going to turn and where things are. That's the idea here. To be established means that you've resolved and you've made your mind up and you've settled on a certain direction and you're going to go in that direction. And it's going to be part of the foundational direction of your life. Now, I also looked in the old 1828 Webster's. I like to keep a copy of that in my office. And it means to settle in a state of firm permanence. Firm permanence. So there's several times in the Bible here, in the New Testament especially, where this word sterizo is mentioned, and it's translated either establish or establish, and it indicates that we've made a resolved decision to go in a specific direction, to put it to rest, to never bring it up again, and to settle it. Maybe you have had times in your life where you've settled some things. I remember being as a teenager. I believed when I was in middle school, in 1993, that I believed the Lord wanted me to go into the ministry in some way, shape, or form. Now, I had these big visions of grandeur that I was going to be some, I don't know, missionary somewhere, having this massive church somewhere or whatever. And then the Lord said, well, sorry, we're going to put you in a Christian school. And it was all downhill from there. No, it's been uphill from there. But it's been an uphill fight. Never mind. I'm digging a hole here. I'm going to stop. But I remember I knew the Lord wanted me to be in the ministry. But then, you know, as a teenager and in high school, you struggle with things and you're tempted with things. But I remember being a senior in high school, my second semester, and I just decided, you know, I know I'm trusting the Lord. I know I'm saved, but it doesn't seem like I'm dedicating fully what I need to the Lord. I'm kind of torn between, well, I'd like to do this and I'd like to do this. And I remember just resolving in my mind and settling it that I'm going to serve the Lord no matter what, and I'm going to go to Bible college, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. You have to come to a point sometimes in your life where you make a established decision, where you just turn resolutely in a certain way, and that's the way the Lord wants me to go, and I'm going to go that way. You know, perhaps there's things in our lives here tonight that we need to permanently establish, permanently make a decision on and resolve it. Maybe it's, you know, playing around with the world or dabbling in the pleasures of the world or in sin or materialism or worldliness. It's time to turn resolutely and to resolve in our minds and determine that we're going to serve the Lord. Kind of reminds me of Joshua, right? Whatever you people do, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's established, right? That's I've laid this foundation. It's in concrete and it's not going to move, if you want to put it in our terminology. You know, maybe you've messed around with concrete before, but I have a nice basketball goal at my house. If you want to come drive by and look at it, you're welcome to. But I remember digging the footer for that thing. It had to be 4.5 feet deep or something like that, and it was this big and round, and I had to fill that entire thing with concrete and rebar just for a basketball goal. And then I found out why when Brian and John and James and all the teenagers started coming over because they could hang on the rim. It was a breakaway rim. So they could lower it down to the magical height of 8 feet, you know, like a real NBA superstar. And yeah, never mind. Yeah, anyway, they would hang on it. And the goal doesn't move. It doesn't fall over because it's got this huge 4 foot of concrete in the ground. And we could talk to Ryan maybe about the engineering and all those things with the bridges that he does. But you've got to have something established and firm and deep and committed. And that's what the Lord wants in our lives. And I'm going to serve the Lord, and it's set in concrete, and I'm not going to move. I'm not going to let the temptations of the world come in and blow it around. I'm not going to let what everybody else does convince me otherwise. I'm not going to let what social media says and what our world is doing to make me change my direction. But I've resolved. that I'm going to do this for the Lord. You know, sometimes you have to make a decision and you go with it because you believe that's what the Lord wants you to do. You know, people have sometimes in our world today, their standards change as much as they shave their heads. Right, brother? We were talking about that. See, we got to keep them slim there and nice. I like Brother Patrick there. He's got a good haircut. But, you know, some people, they change their standards up and down like it's nothing. It's not set in concrete. And we let the world determine what we're going to be and what we're going to do. Sometimes we just have to say, you know what, whether y'all like it or not, whether it's your opinion or not, I'm going to answer to God for this, and I believe God would have me do this, and I'm going to stick to that standard. Instead of letting the world, well, that's dumb, that's outdated, or whatever else they throw around. We want to stick to what the Lord has convicted our hearts about, and we want to be established in the truth that we know. And as we grow with the Lord, and as we learn more about His Word, that helps that establishment. It helps the concrete dry, if that makes any sense. I'm getting into some construction terminology here. Not paint drying, that doesn't hold up anything, even though that's what I do. But concrete drying. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. First, I want to say, what is the power and the possibility of being established? Isn't it good to be established? First of all, isn't it good that we can be established in something? What does the Bible say about the double-minded man? He's unstable. He's not established. He's, you know, going from one thing to the other, moving all around. He can't make his mind up. He's a simple person. He's easily led from one thing to the other. Well, it's good to be established and firm and settled. And where does it come from? Verse 25 of chapter 16. Now to Him that is of power to establish you, who is that Him? That's our God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. It is here, what is the power to be, even be established? It doesn't come from me. Well, I'm going to establish myself and I'm going to do all this in myself. No, it's the Lord and His gospel. Because of what Christ has done for us, we can have a firm and established life in a wishy-washy world. In a double-minded, unstable world. How do we make a resolute decision and turn resolutely and be established? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we build permanence in our life? It's through Christ. And more specifically, notice here, according to the gospel, which is the truth of God's Word, that Christ arose from the, you know, died for our sins, arose from the dead. He's interceding right now. It's everything the Bible has to say that is truth. But notice, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which simply means, as you hear and learn from God's Word, what does that do for you? It establishes you. And it establishes you more. And it establishes you more. It's almost like we've been talking in middle school about trees, not the most exciting topic in the world to talk about. We've been talking about root systems and how as the roots grow, and there's different kinds. We won't get into the science of it, but there's several different kinds of roots. And no, just kidding. You know, I'm a doctor now, so we can talk about that. As the roots spread, they compacted the soil around them and they make themselves even stronger. You know, that's how the oak tree pastor was talking about has been there through all those hurricanes. It's established. And it's got those roots. Well, as we hear God's Word, it's almost as if we're growing deeper. If we accept God's Word, if we apply it, if we yield to God's Word, the power for it is right there through Christ, through the preaching and the knowledge and the revelation of who Christ is. The more that we understand about Christ, the deeper we can be established and firm in our Lord. Let's flip over because I've got to move quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Talk about several areas that we can be resolved in. So first of all, the power of it comes from Christ. But what are some areas that we can be resolved in? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 2. Well, we'll start at the beginning there. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and we sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Here it is a establishment, a resolving in belief. Now here's the Thessalonians. They already knew of the Lord, and they trusted in Christ, and Paul had already been there. But notice he sent him back to establish them and comfort them concerning their what? Their faith, their belief. What do we believe in? There's some things we've got to resolve to believe in, and we don't change it. We're established in that. There's truth in God's Word that we say that is God's truth. We're going to be established in that truth, and we're not going to let the world change our mind or anybody else change our opinions. It's going to be the truth of God's Word. Go over to the end of that chapter. Not just resolved in belief. Look at this one. This is a tough one. Verse 13. To the end, I should start in verse 12. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. So love each other in the church, and then love all men as well. Not having a hateful attitude toward people that are not saved, or, you know, we still love them. We want them to come to Christ. Why? To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all of His saints. To be established or resolved in holiness. To have our lives continuing to be established so that we can reach a point where we're even unblameable, and it's not because of us. There's plenty to blame in us. But it's because we are conforming more and more to Christ. And in Christ, there's no blame. He's perfect. He's sinless. There's no accusation against Christ. But to continue to make a resolution, a establishment in our minds, even in the area of holiness, that I want to love what God loves and hate what God hates and be established in that holiness. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Not just resolved in belief and resolved in holiness. Chapter 2, verse 17 or 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That what I do, my work, and what I say, my word, is established in God's Word. You know, the deeper we grow in Christ and the more established we can become in Christ, it ought to have an effect on how we live, shouldn't it? It should affect my word and my work. And so the resolution in word and deed, that confirms what I believe and is evidence that I'm growing with the Lord. And as I continue to be conformed to Christ, my word might change. My work might change as I do those things that honor my Lord instead of those things that simply please myself. So resolved in word and in deed. Now let's flip over to the book of James as we go quickly. Go all the way through Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, go through those books and on over to the book of James, chapter 5, verse number 8. Be ye also patient. That's really hard, especially for a Watt. That's what my mom said was going to be our problems ever since Watts tend to be impatient. So be ye also, so there's a verse for our family right there, I guess. Me and my dad will hang our heads on that one. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Is your belief in Christ and your heart and what you do for God so established that you can be confident in the return of Christ? Are you confident that when the Lord returns, and as our pastor said Sunday, when that trumpet sounds, that we know we'll hear, we'll go with our Lord? We're confident in that. Because our hearts are established. We're patiently waiting right now. And sometimes it's difficult. He even mentions it back in verse number 7. Be patient, therefore. You know, have long suffering. And you're going to have to go through some stuff and suffer through some trials and hardships. But be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Establish your hearts. And as you continue to resolutely choose the direction of God, instead of the direction of myself or of the world or other things, as I choose the direction of God, my heart is established. As I patiently wait, and what did the Bible tell us to do? To watch and pray. As I watch, as I'm waiting for the Lord, His imminent return, as I'm praying with the Lord, and I'm patiently waiting for Him, my heart is established, and I can confidently know that my Lord is coming back. It's not some pipe dream. It's not some thing that, well, it might happen or might not happen. It's a reality. And I can have hope in those things. Let's flip over now to 1 Peter. We keep going a couple more pages. Over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Sorry about the many passages tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5. This is another hard area to be resolved in. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have what? Suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Again, we're in an unsettled world. We're in an up and down world, an inconsistent world with people saying and doing crazy things and crazy philosophies and crazy ideologies. And we may suffer as God's people. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, we will suffer. Those that name the name of Christ. And while we suffer, even through difficult times of suffering or persecution or trials that God may put us through, those are times that God is growing us. He's growing the roots of our belief deeper, as it were. He's hardening that concrete, letting it set up to establish us in a greater way. You know, the Lord many times will bring us through hardships, and sometimes we need to recognize that it's the Lord that's doing it. The Lord may be putting us through something. You know, there are many times, yes, the devil attacks and the devil does things to us and the devil is out to hurt the work of the Lord. But sometimes it's not always the devil. Sometimes it's the Lord that's allowing things to happen in our life because we need to be established. We need to learn and grow another stage of establishment in our life. By you saying, Lord, you're bringing this to me for a reason. And we begin to look at our life and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show to me? You know, it's sometimes, as again, Pastor said, the water off a duck back ideal there. Things can happen to our lives and, oh, well, I'm just going to continue on doing what I always do. And we never stop and say, Lord, why is this happening? Is there a suffering that I'm going through right now? Why? I've heard stories of some great godly men that some of the times they drew closest to the Lord was when maybe the Lord put them through a terrible cancer or a terrible sickness. And, you know, it's almost as if the Lord said, I'm going to put you on your back and make you think. What's He doing? He's bringing suffering into our lives so that we can go deeper in our faith in Christ. So to be resolved, even through suffering and trial. Then one more over just a page to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 12. Wherefore, this is Peter talking, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. In other words, I'm not going to fail my duty to remind you of something. Though ye know them, or there are some things ye know, but you need to be established in the present truth. And I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. To be resolved in or established in truth. You know, we all know what the truth is. Every one of us have, you know, we've grown up perhaps in a Christian school, Christian home, whatever, and been in church for a long time. We know what the truth is. But many times we don't really appropriate that. We just kind of roll with things. But to be established in what's the truth? What is right? What does God say truth is? It's not your decision, by the way, to decide what truth is. It's not inside of you. It's not subjective. It's what God already says is truth, and we find that in His Word. To be established in it, then, is to continually be reminded, as Peter says, to know what the truth is. And the Lord's given us His Word to do that and to know. I pray that we, as God's people, we never reach this level where everything's just okay. We've been a Christian long enough, and you know, I'm the prime example, ideal example of what godliness and holiness is. And you know, I'm almost at the stage of perfection. God help us not to have that type of attitude. We always can be established deeper. Established a little deeper, and then a little more deeper, and a little more conformed to Christ, and more knowledge of His Word. As the hymn says, thy Word is like a deep, deep mine. There's a lot of treasures in here that we can continue to find, and God will use them to establish our hearts, because we live in a chaotic, unestablished, willy-nilly type of world. And the Lord needs us to be settled and firm and established in His Word and His truth. Father, thank You for this time tonight to be in Your house, to fellowship with Your people, to bring requests before You. Lord, to be reminded of these truths from Your Scripture. I pray that we would be established believers, Father. Help us to be established believers. And Lord, I do thank You for Your answers to prayer. Thank You for being with Nicole and with Isaac as well. Continue to bless them. Thank You, Lord, for Abigail's answer to prayer. And Lord, we also thank You for Jonathan and his testimony tonight. We just praise You for that. And I pray that for Jonathan, Lord, You would help him to be established and to continue on to grow with You, to walk with You, to know Your Word, Lord, as we all should as well. So, Father, thank You for this time. And bless us each one as we go our separate ways. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.